Manx Radio's Update with Dave Moore.
The time is 5 o'clock. You are listening to Manx Radio. I am Dave Moore, and this is Update. Welcome to the programme. Half an hour of the latest news in the Isle of Man, plus Manx sport, business, travel updates, along with the newsmakers in person. Coming up, the Minister for Enterprise faced questions in Tymal today over his views regarding the island's economic decline. Meanwhile, the Chief Minister's confirming there have been no economic assessments or costings carried out for projects unveiled recently. And ManxNet email users will no longer be able to use the service for free from next year. That's all coming up in the next half hour. First of all, the update news headlines. Fastermy, Siobhan Fletcher.
Fastermy, Tymal members have unanimously approved a new Child First policy designed to make children's welfare and rights a central part of government decision making. The Cabinet Office says the framework will guide how all departments develop policy and deliver public services. During the debate today, Douglas East MHK Joni Farragher welcomed the policy but said she believed more clarity was needed.
It's not explained why this cross-government application is being made or what benefits it's expected to bring. That's not to say that it's a bad idea, far from it, but without clarity of purpose, there's a risk that the policy becomes so broad that it loses meaning.
Meanwhile, the Chief Minister confirmed there have been no economic assessments or costings carried out for the projects he unveiled at the government conference. At the annual event, Alfred Cannon announced a series of new initiatives, including plans for a National Office for AI Development and Regulation. Anyone using a Manx.net email will have to pay to keep it. Manx Telecom is moving the service to a specialist provider, and so to keep your email address, it will now cost £65 a year. And the fast food chain Pizza Hut has confirmed which of its 68 restaurants will shut their doors. Around 1,200 jobs are at risk nationwide, but the Douglas branch is safe from closure. Further afield, the US Vice President says the current ceasefire in Gaza comes during a very tough situation for Israelis and Hamas.
Israelis and Americans working hand in hand to try to begin the plan to rebuild Gaza, implement peace, and to actually ensure that you have security forces on the ground in Gaza, not composed of Americans, who can keep the peace over the long term. So this is going to take a very, very long time.
J.D. Vance is in Israel to shore up the American brokered peace deal that's been tested over the past few days. Boris Johnson's told the COVID inquiry he believed shutting schools during the pandemic was a nightmare idea. It's claimed a senior member of the King's household was in charge of royal protection when Prince Andrew allegedly asked police to dig up dirt on Virginia Giuffre, and a man has been ordered to pay £31,000 worth of fine wine he admitted stealing from the high-end restaurants in London. He has to hand them over within 2 weeks ahead of being sentenced. There are your headlines, news at 6.
Mostly drier this evening and overnight, weather-wise, with just a small risk of an odd shower. The fresh west or northwest wind will ease slightly, with overnight temperatures around 10 Celsius. Mainly dry and bright tomorrow, with sunny intervals, only isolated showers and light winds. Sunny intervals and scattered showers on Thursday, but fresh to strong northwest winds developing.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
TE Cabin provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions and fire hearths. Visit us at Hope Street, Castletown or at Broadway Douglas or call 844 440. TE Cabin, here when you need us.
At Bon Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools, made-to-measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Strand Street, Douglas, call 611856 or see bonfabrics.in.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452-688.
If you have children, pets or a house, talk to Peace of Mind about a will or power of attorney, which will help family members when it matters. Prices from £199 plus VAT. Find us on Facebook or call 632 610.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Following the summer recess, today is episode one of a brand new season of Tymal Day fairly packed order paper. Christian Jones is in the Timwell Chamber without any spoiler alerts. So, Faster Mike, Christian, just give us a rundown of what's been happening so far.
Yeah, Faster Mike, Dave. Definitely episode one of what could be a potentially dramatic political season, I suppose. As you say, it has been a fairly packed day so far, although we are still only going through questions, something which proved somewhat ironic among members was the president's remark at the beginning that he hoped everyone had returned rejuvenated and revitalised. Of course, MHKs often stress that summer recess isn't about jetting off and putting their slippers on. The work still continues, so a few raised eyebrows at that comment. Back to the sitting, though. It began with a tribute to Jeff Corkish, followed by a minute's silence. Mr. Corkish passed away last month after two terms as an MHK, first elected in 2006 and then re-elected in 2011. He was described by the president as a highly respected figure in Ireland life.
Yeah, it was a very fitting tribute indeed. So, questions, they are a hefty part of the order paper, Christian. So what's happened there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're still going through questions. Like I said, 36 in total on the paper. Timwald allocates 2.5 hours for questions in the morning, but members wanted to reach the Child First policy debate after lunch. I'll come to that in just a moment. So questions have taken up much of the day so far. They're still going through them. As for the standout topics, there's been some scepticism about the government's approach to retiring the MyCard system. The Chief Minister has also been defending his recent announcements at the government conference, including the National Office for AI Development and Regulation. None of those projects have been costed yet. Some members question whether that was responsible, but Alfred Cannon said his role is to provide hope, not necessarily to produce costed plans from the outset.
A moment ago, Christian, you mentioned Child First policy and you will come to it. So what is that about?
Yeah, absolutely. That policy was released by the Cabinet Office. It aims to make the welfare and rights of children a core consideration across all areas of government decision making. So in essence, it sets out how departments, boards and public bodies should ensure that children's needs, safety and perspective are prioritised when developing new laws, services and policies. And all members broadly supported the policy, though some questioned whether it's merely words on a page or whether we'll actually see tangible results. Others, including Ramsay MHK Laurie Hooper, argued it should have been written into law, saying that departments should act isn't as strong as they must act. So ultimately, Timwald unanimously supported it, as David Ashford says. The real work begins now, describing this as not the end of the journey, but merely the end of the beginning.
Finally, Christian, just one more question. You're saying there, not the end of the journey. Is that the end of the journey for Timwald for this week? I mean, how long can we expect them to be in the chamber for?
So far we're still going through questions. I think we're on 28 at the moment, 36 in total. So potentially, depending on how fast we speed through these things, day one could just be questions and the Child First policy. I think it is 100% certain that we will be going into day two. There is a possibility of even going into day three, which is not common, but this one could be one of the few times where we go into a day three. I don't think we'll go into day four. I should touch wood right now. And perhaps hope that we don't get into day four, but that's how it's looking so far.
Christian Jones from the Timwald Chamber, thank you. So staying with Timwald, and the Minister for Enterprise faced questions today over his attitude towards the island's apparent economic decline. Figures show a year-on-year reduction in real gross national product since 2020, and reduction in real gross domestic product and GNP since 2017. But Tim Johnson's call for members to maintain confidence wouldn't quite stick. Here's Ramsay MHK Laurie Hooper.
I am blown away by the idea that we have a stable economy that is reducing on average by 5% a year. That is what the official government statistics are telling us. And for the Minister for Enterprise to be standing there and saying this is consistent, this is stable, it is neither of those things.
And Manx Radio's political correspondent Phil Gorn has been speaking to Minister Johnston.
I'm not going to get drawn into, you know, Laurie Hooper's negativity about things. I mean, we're in a really challenging place, I think, globally at the moment. If you take that into account, the Isle of Man has steered a pretty steady course. We've got low unemployment. We have seen growth over that period. Obviously, we've also seen high levels of inflation as well. If Mr. Hooper wants to try and pick negativities, he can do. What I have to do, my responsibility, is to look at the bigger picture and step back and say, you know, what are the challenges? What's going well? And it's interesting at the government conference, having two speakers who off island or independent as such, who said that, you know, despite everything that's going on in the world at the moment, the Isle of Man's actually doing really well. But that in no way means that we haven't got challenges. I accept that.
I guess it's obvious that ministers don't want to use the word recession, but when GDP has fallen, which it appears to be doing, that's not a good thing, is it?
Well, what we've seen is we have seen growth over that period. Clearly, we've also seen high levels of inflation. So when you talk about the real term position, what we've actually seen, if you step back and look at it, it's been pretty steady and pretty stable. Has anyone up to the stage over the last few years come out and said, you know, the definition of recession and said we're in this recession? No, they haven't. So, you know, I'm not going to get into that conversation. What I'm going to do is look forward, talk to business and do what we can to move things forward.
Those businesses will be saying to you, it's quite a difficult environment to be in at the moment.
It is a very difficult environment to be in at the moment for many sectors. I think we recognise those challenges, and therefore the question that you ask yourself is, well, what are government doing about it to try and help and support? And I would say, well, you know, getting our visitor numbers back up to 330,000, you know, £212 million spent in the visitor economy last year, record numbers get back up at the TT nearly. What we need to do as a government is make sure that we're providing opportunity where we can, and that's what we'll keep doing. But in no way do I say that there aren't challenges.
Enterprise Minister Tim Johnston speaking to Manx Radio's political correspondent Phil Gorn. Now, as we heard Christian saying before, the Chief Minister's confirmed there have been no economic assessments or costings carried out for the projects he unveiled at the recent government conference. At the annual event, Alfred Cannon announced a series of new initiatives, including plans for a National Office for AI Development and Regulation. Onchan MHK Julie Edge questioned whether it was irresponsible to raise expectations without first assessing the costs. Mr. Cannon dismissed those concerns.
Our intent is to consult now with a group of individuals, particularly within our business sectors, just to understand the current situation and any potential impacts of the pre-stated and supported economic strategy. And of course, if there are any fundamental alterations, we will of course come back to consult properly with Tynwald. The National Office for AI Regulation and Development, as the Honourable Member will know, there was already some AI work being undertaken and an AI strategy being developed within the Department for Enterprise. However, it was Council's opinion that matters were progressing so fast with regards to AI, and indeed in consultation and a workshop with the business leaders in this particular area, it was determined that the island was potentially at risk of falling behind if it did not upgrade its focus in this area, and henceforth this now is a matter of work in progress. I think it's a sensible step.
And I really do thank the Chief Minister for his comments this morning, but do you really think it was responsible to make announcements and give hope to the people of the Isle of Man in many of these areas without doing a full financial assessment of what the implications on cost and impact on the economy could be? It just appears to me you've made announcements that sound good. We're going to do this, we're going to do that, but there's no actual work.
Well, my job is to give hope to the island. That's part of the role that I fulfil. I know your job is to knock me down, but my job is to build up hope. I think there were good positive announcements. They set a clear direction for the government. And I look forward to debating these further with the Honourable Member as she seeks to knock them down, and I seek to build them up and give hope to everybody that there is a better future in front of them for all of us, Mr.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
A Manx roofing firm's urging people to make sure the company they're using for building work has a good reputation before booking them. Charlie D Roofing Services Limited says it's seen an increase in the number of folk having dodgy work done on their properties. Some of its customers are now thousands of pounds out of pocket after falling victim to scammers. Giselle D is from the company and has been talking to Amy Griffiths about the issue.
in the last 4 to 5 weeks, we had, I think it was about 8 calls where they'd asked them to do work, paid $6,500, or some were paying up to £10,000, some smaller amounts for works being done. And they all seemed to be elderly, and some were also disabled. So some were on pension and disability allowance. And they'd then paid this money for the works to be done. And the work was either worse than before. You know, one lady in particular, her living room is now completely ruined. So curtains are ruined, flooring's ruined, along with the works not actually being done. So when we've gone to check the job that's supposed to have been done for $6,500, none of it had been done. And I think for the elderly, especially, for them to go up on a roof and check these things, it's not as easy. So just asking for before, during and after collage works of the works that has been done, so you know exactly what's been done, that can help.
And you went on Google, didn't you, to try and just see how big an issue this was? And so what was the situation that you saw there?
There was loads. There was so many different companies, not just roofing, but just so many different building companies that aren't registered and obviously no address or anything like that. So probably not paying taxes, probably not got any business insurance.
And do you think this is a problem that's getting worse then?
Definitely. 110%. Yeah. I mean, going off tangent a little bit, but we don't really have to produce ID to come to the Isle of Man, I don't think. So people are just coming over in the UK work vans. You can quite clearly see that they've got a UK registered number plate and then they're just working. So, you know, if we're not doing checks on who's coming into the Isle of Man, people can just come over, rinse the Manx public and then go back to wherever they've come from. You know that these guys are not going to start intimidating them and threatening them, which some of the clients that we've been speaking to, and I'm sure others as well, they've been getting threatened in their homes if they take them to trading standards. And it's daunting, I think, but as an elderly and disabled woman, it's really quite scary.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
A quick glance over my right shoulder shows the Manxman coming in just past the edge of the breakwater on its arrival from Heysham. So everything looking on time sea-wise. Down at the airport though, a slight delay for the EasyJet flight going off to Gatwick. It was due to go at 10 past 7. It's now going at 25 to 8, but check in on time. And that's it in terms of... Well, there is a 6 o'clock departure, Logan Air to Liverpool. That is showing on time as well. And in terms of arrivals, the Logan Air Manchester was due to land at 25 past 5. It's now coming in closer to 6. Meanwhile, everything else, the EasyJet Gatwick, the Logan Air Liverpool and the Logan Air London City are all showing as on time this evening.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
And MHK says the public needs more time to fully understand the impact of the North and West Area Plan could have on the Manx countryside. Douglas Central member Chris Thomas has told Manx Radio he'll be looking to delay the debate on the document until next month. If approved, the plan would set out how to manage and guide development based on social, environmental and economic needs. But Mr. Thomas believes the plan would enable developers to favour building on greenfield land over disused brownfield sites.
I will be voting against the North and West Area Plan when it comes to Tim Ward, and I just think the public needs to make sure that they know that each of their MHKs knows how to vote. I think this month it should be adjourned until next month because it hasn't as yet had the attention it deserves. I don't think the public really understands the full extent of the green fields that are going to be taken over for new housing when the government's policy, stated policy, is to encourage brownfield regeneration. So if you live in an urban area next to vacant properties, next to sites that need development, they won't happen because it's much cheaper to build on a green field without any historical legacy to deal with than it is inside the middle of Ramsey or the middle of Peel.
For someone who is waiting to get on the housing ladder, though, they'll think, OK, these are all potentially very valid concerns, but if this doesn't go through, does it all then go back to the beginning and it starts again? And does that just increase the amount of time before I can get on the housing ladder?
No, we've spent 13, 14 million probably on Tyclegg. That still leaves £37 million. We need to immediately apply that to Douglas's excellent 10-year housing strategy and the similar ones that I believe Ramsey and Peel and other housing authorities are developing in terms of the first-time buyer schemes. That's been under review for 10 years. It was Mr. Robert Shaw who launched that back in November 2013. The Chief Minister made the point that the income levels and the property levels need to be increased. That's a very good point. That takes money. There hasn't been any newer money applied to those schemes. Essentially, people in the past, when they've been selling their houses and sharing their profits with the government, they've been financing new people taking part in the scheme. And we need more new money in that scheme to enable people to start off. And we need to go back to some policies that have gone by the wayside over the years.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio, and anyone using a manx.net email will have to pay to keep it. Manx Telecom's moving the service to a specialist provider, as Amy Griffiths reports.
Manx Telecom says in the 25 years it's subsidised the manx.net service, email technology and security requirements have evolved significantly, meaning more and more investment in specialised expertise and infrastructure is needed. As of today, Janara, which has been providing the technical platform for several years, has assumed full ownership and customer support responsibility. To keep your email address, it will now cost £65 a year. Those who choose not to pay will have their accounts permanently deleted in April next year. Gary Lamb, CEO of Manx Telecom, says transitioning the service to Janara ensures customers can continue using their manx.net email address with specialist management. He says the change protects customers and the service itself for the long term, while Manx Telecom continues to focus on fibre broadband, mobile networks and business connectivity for the Isle of Man. Meanwhile, people are being reminded to remain vigilant against online scams that may appear to relate to the changes. Mike Haywood, director of the Cybersecurity Centre for the Isle of Man, says Manx Telecom will never send clickable links about this change. He adds, always go directly to www.manx.net by typing it yourself into the browser. If you wish to keep your at manx.net, at isleofman.com or at isleofman.org email address, you will now need to go to manx.net, register with Janara before the 20th of January 2026 and choose your plan, which will either be £65 a year or £6.50 a month. Once you've registered and paid, your email service will continue without interruption. Accounts that haven't been paid for by the 20th of January will be suspended until the 20th of April. They'll then be permanently deleted the following day.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
A ban on riding motorbikes in the area of Cross Vein Mine appears to have led to a significant drop in the metal content in the water heading into Peel Marina. The site, on the outskirts of Foxdale, commonly known as Snuff the Wind, was closed off to the public 5 years ago. Meanwhile, planning consent is currently being sought for a project to transport the sediment from the Peel Silt Lagoon to the mine site for treatment. Infrastructure Minister Michelle Haywood has been talking to Manx Radio about those plans.
The problem really starts at Cross Vein. So particularly when we had bikes being ridden over there and everything, that was disturbing the mine workings, and the high levels of metal that were in there, particularly the lead and the zinc, was washing into the river and then is washing down and it ends up in the marina. And then, of course, when we need to dredge the marina so that boats can get in, because we don't want boats grounding in a marina, that's a really bad thing that we try to avoid. When we're dredging that, we need something to do with that silt, and the levels of metal in there are too high for us to take it out and dump it in the sea. There was an episode where some was dumped in the sea and it closed down the fisheries on that side of the island for several months. We can't repeat that. It's against international law, and it's not something that as a biosphere nation we should be countenancing doing. Instead, the silt was taken out to keep the harbour functional. It's been in a lagoon, it's been dewatering, so gradually the volume has reduced from about 23,000 cubic metres to about 16,000 cubic metres of effectively sand and gravel and the bits of metal still in there. The plan is to take that silt and to treat it, to remove the heavy metals from it or lock them in. The treatment bit hasn't quite been finalised yet. We're just working that out. But basically to immobilise the metal so it's no longer a problem. So what we're left with then is just some sort of soil-like silt almost. Once we've treated it, the aim is that the levels of metal are low enough that it could be used on recreational grounds or something like that. We wouldn't put it in people's gardens, but you know, somewhere where you've got a reasonably stable surface and you're not going to dig it up. The beauty of the scheme to take it up onto the DEFA land at Crossvein Mine is that when we put that layer of capping material across the top of Crossvein Mine, we will reduce even further the metals that wash down the river. So what we'll see over a period of time is what ends up in Peel Marina has less metal in it. And at some point, the hope is that we don't have to keep doing this and treating it. It would be safe enough for us to take it out to sea.
You're listening to Manx Radio FM. This is Update, and the third instalment of the Manx Politics Quote Book's been launched, created by Speaker of the House of Keys, Ewan Waterson. He says all chips sales of Timwell balls will go to charity.
So far, it's raised £15,000 for Southern Befrienders, and now the third edition is going to raise money for Crossroads Caring for Carers. So really good causes, and a fantastic way to have a laugh and provide money for a very, very good cause. I think you can look around the chamber, and when members are on their feet, you know, the blood's rushing to their mouths, and they all of a sudden will see my desk go up and their heart will sink, because it means that they've said something and it's almost certainly going to end up in Timwell balls. So I keep a little notepad in the desk drawer and make a note of when I hear something that perhaps a member might regret later, and it'll go in the book. And no one's exempt. I've got ones in there myself. But it's just it is something that's gone from being a bit sort of subversive at the back of it to being something now that has become a bit of an institution in Tynwald, really.
So go on, I might be putting on the spot. Three volumes in now. Are there any all-time favourites for you, as obviously you and Quinton are the two main reprobates behind it? So any that really stick in your mind from any of the volumes, really?
I think it's maybe the inner accountant in me, that there's two that always stick in my mind. One is the Peter Caron classic of 10% of nothing is nothing, 20% of nothing is an even bigger nothing. And the other one's one from the late, great Bill Mullarkey, when he said that there are none now and there'll be fewer in the future.
That is classic, isn't it?
Do you make these up? And, you know, we are not funny enough to make these up.
For me, I think it's always hard to be another white elephant coming home to roost, I think.
Sport now with Darren Timpson. Fastamai.
Fastamai, starting in athletics, Avman Sarah Webster has been crowned world champion of the AIU 24-hour World Championship in Albi, France. Competing over the weekend, Webster also set a new women's record in the progress. She completed a distance of 278.622 kilometres, or 185 full laps, which is now a world record. Webster beat the previous best set by Miho Nakata in 2023, who finished third in the event. Furthermore, Webster competed for Great Britain, who were crowned as champions of the women's team contest. In hockey, Isle of Man under-14s and under-18 boys' sides got the new season of the England Hockey Junior Championships underway at the weekend. They beat under-14 side Preston on Sunday, and all teams will now enter draws for the next round of the competition. The under-14s won 7-1, while the under-18s lost 7-3. However, there was disappointment for the under-16 boys, under-16 and under-18 girls, as the opposition sides conceded their fixtures against Ireland.
Thank you there, Darren Timpson, for sport. And that's it for Update, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thank you to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher. If you have a comment on the news agenda, a story you think we should be covering, or just want to say hello from near or far, email update@manxradio.com. And the stories you've heard on this programme, much more Manx news, plus interviews and podcasts, and the web's biggest source of Manx videos are all at manxradio.com and via the free Manx Radio app. So just like Manx Radio on Facebook, follow us on X and subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. I don't know if we're doing TikTok yet or not. I'll have to check on that one. But that's it for tonight's show. Countryside is next. Thank you so much, and all being well, be back tomorrow at 5:00.